No profanity, please.
Poop monster.
He says this every show, by the way.
Darn it.
Specifically looking shoot, at me.
Shoot your shot.
Well,
shoot
yeah, your shot. I was very happy. Last time, my first time, I can't believe I made it through without cursing.
See,
I have a terrible
he's
mouth.
Also
I have a terrible
great.
Mouth.
He's also surprised that he makes it through without cussing.
Shoot your shot.
I mean,
gosh darn
I said bitch on the last
cookies.
One.
Cookies.
It's I said only,
bitchy. Bitch is not profanity. That's not either. I've heard worse than that.
So I can say bitch?
Okay. Don't just say it, though.
Not in that tone.
Some club announcements. Some club and executive award winners announced by MLS. And, of course, and we all know that Darren...
Yeah, the
Darren won.
And it has a name.
It was the
who's
least
Doug Hamilton?
The least surprising...
Who's Doug Hamilton? Let me tell you about a
sorry,
time
Doug.
When there were like 12, only 12 teams in the league, and only two were really, really good. And that's when they started naming
awards.
<Yeah. after. laughs> Platform activation of the year, TBD. Mr. TBD, congratulations.
Would someone please step
we're
up?
We're still evaluating platforms.
We're still trying to find someone that knows what that is.
You just opened a whole bitch can of worms.
This is the Mouths of the South podcast.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
The official Dirty South Soccer podcast.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Talking all things Atlanta United FC.
Don't nobody understand the words that are coming out of your mouth, man.
We are
the Mouths of the South.
The South got something to say. That's all I got to say.
What's up, Atlanta? This is the Mouths of the South podcast brought to you by Dirty South Soccer and CrossFit Vesuvio. If you're looking to get your CrossFit on, hit up CrossFit Vesuvio. Atlanta United fan, just like you guys, so make sure you're supporting local Atlanta United, well, Atlanta United fan local business, if that's how we want to phrase it. Dirty South Soccer, you can find all the updates on hashtag BarcoWatch, which seemingly hasn't really progressed much in the last week or so, unfortunately.
Barco Z's, just a bunch
thought,
of Z's.
We thought by now we would have had some official word, but we don't, even though we've heard the rumblings and rumors and Tata Martino interviews basically saying that he is a sure thing. We'll see. Still waiting on the official announcement. Happening right now, and we talked about a little bit about this in the little cold open you just heard, but MLS Executive Awards, we want to do a little more seriously. Executive of the Year, Darren Eales. Ticket Sales Executive of the Year, Don Rovac. And Marketing Executive of the Year, Skate Knopfsinger. And Marketing Team of the Year, Atlanta United. And then Team Administrator of the Year, presented by Sports Corp Travel. I have no idea what that is, but
good job.
Manny Tejeda. Good job to you guys, and they're basically taking. I think they've did the team with the most wins here, by my unofficial count. They also took home like league ticketing awards, 23 total awards. So that's insane. Congratulations to Atlanta United and everything they've done in year one. You know, it's honestly it's unreal that we're having this conversation just a year into this thing. So congratulations
did we,
to you guys.
Did we see ourselves doing this at all?
I'd hope.
The question
is,
did Don Rovac, ticket sales executive, see
this doing this thing at all?
Well, I'll be honest. Sorry.
I'm just saying, like, he kicks back his feet, and they're like, what do you mean we sold 35,000
What? Well, I'll be honest. I definitely didn't think that at the beginning of the season I would be sitting here talking about the executive awards. I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
but
by the way, Josh Berganski sounds really different right now.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Whatever happened?
Didn't even get to introduce anyone.
Your voice is so much deeper. Jay You're Riddle. So much more handsome. What is
Jay
this?
Riddle, Joe Patrick in for Josh Berganski, and then Kelly Francis.
In for Kelly Francis.
Shout out to the ladle.
The ladle.
Josh's ladle tonight. It's getting worked.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's sick, right?
Yeah, he's got he's got a thing in the throat.
What is that
he's
ladle
got,
thing?
He's something. Yeah, make what that was that? I saw that running around. I was like, what the hell is that? The ladle
thing?
Ladle?
What is
that? He was talking about he got a ladle for Christmas. We were talking about bad gifts. Or not bad gifts, but
a ladle's
actually
not
useful
a bad
gifts.
Gift. It's a useful gift.
Well, comparative to what a lot of people get for Christmas.
Yeah, that would not be a great gift in my eyes. But.
Yeah, so I don't know.
But speaking of Darren Eales real quick, did you guys see him troll? Orlando.
Speaking of trolling, can we get this guy a trophy for Executive Troll of the Year for
social
media?
Right?
I think this is
fantastic.
First of all, if that was not part of the measuring stick, you know, your trolling game on
Dude's
Twitter.
Dude's got a Snapchat.
It should have been. It should have been part of it.
He doesn't have a Snapchat.
Did he take
he was
over
on
the Snapchat?
He was yeah, on he took the over Atlanta United Snapchat.
He did a takeover of the Snapchat. He did like, a takeover. That is legit.
If you, yeah. In case you missed it, which I'm sure none of you did, but in case you missed it, on Snapchat, he takes a picture of the Orlando City, one of the sides of the Atlanta City Stadium that's completely empty, and just types in, crowd looks larger than usual at Orlando City Stadium today, which is fantastic. Then later on, and I guess he's watching some kind, I guess he's watching the draftees.
The combine.
The combine
yeah.
people, yeah.
So there's some players in the field. Yeah. He circles one of them.
Circles one of them.
Points an arrow to the goal where Tito would have been standing from like 30 yards out where he shot that rocket and writes Tito.
Tito Lion.
A little stick figurine.
Yep. Tito Lion oh. Tamer goal and then just types in trip down memory lane. I mean, that's fantastic.
But I love that, you know, in true baby boomer fashion, he does the Snapchat yeah, in the wrong orientation.
Yes, yeah.
So
exactly.
It's like, yeah.
Exactly.
Ryan Kenny. He's got to flip it. Well, yeah. And then tweeted yeah. it out, thankfully, in the correct format.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I had to turn my head. You know. Although some people have monitors now, they can just turn them.
Yeah.
Ryan
yeah.
Ryan is like Darren's social media coach. Yeah. You know, he's like, we're going to go over some stuff when he gets back,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
but
yeah.
the content
he's
is there.
He's
you
a
know?
Natural, yeah, though. Yeah. He is a natural. And yeah. that, I had this thing where I saw the first one with the lion tamer thing, and I was like, I mean, he's a natural troll, but like, I don't know if he's like a natural, like at, you know, every, like a Snapchat. And then the next thing he literally put out was that crowd size at the stadium. And I was like, okay, I can.
Another season of coaching from Ryan and the digital team. And I think that Darren may win that digital media award next year.
Yeah.
Well, he's just good. He's
just him on his own. Yeah. And the one of the other awards that popped out that may not be a surprise, although one Twitter follower was surprised, is that Orlando City won the Security Team of the Year award.
I'm not sure how. I mean, I feel like someone gets punched in
the
game.
I wish they were up here to prevent their guys from ripping up the seats.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
that. Maybe
right.
Maybe that's why we didn't win it, is because we got a bench ripped out of Bobby yeah. Dodd like before they caught him.
Maybe it's determined by like who does the most work
yeah,
during the season.
Some
in which case, yeah, yeah. they are.
Sweat
I mean,
equity.
They.
Yeah.
sweat
how many were
sure.
on premise and how hard they had to work? Because
uh-huh, exactly.
by that standards, you know, Orlando wins.
I'm also wondering if it's like smoothness of like tickets or entrance.
But that's
they're
complaining
stuff.
About Twitter is people that were down
probably,
there
probably.
Are saying it took
like
us forever to get
problem.
In there. So I don't think that's it. And
speaking
then
maybe because it's so secure. Because they've got the best
it's
security.
A fortress.
Speaking of which, did you hear about the horror stories when it came to the Super Bowl? When it came to what was it, the national championship game?
Yeah, I've heard.
Yes,
I
did.
I haven't. Share.
You haven't heard this?
No.
People waited in line for about 3 hours and missed parts of the game.
At Mercedes?
Yeah, Mercedes-Benz.
Mm-hmm. 70,000 yeah. people.
They had to close down an entire court. Like there's four entrances,
right.
one at each end of the stadium. And then since Trump was coming, they closed down the entire
oh
corner
God.
So that he could come. So,
I think it was the presidential
thing. So
they
lost like 25% of their
You know they can cram 70,000 people in there in a matter of an hour, you know, easy
right.
at Atlanta United matches. So, you know, that had to be a lot of it was the logistics of all that stuff. So. A couple other before we move on. Club Retailer of the Year, Columbus Crew.
I wonder if this is like one of those.
That's for real.
Selling out. People try to get those Columbus scarves before they go, out of style.
Before like, they become antiques.
Man, I wish I bought a Columbus Crew scarf before they went to Austin. So, I mean, that's the only thing I can think of is probably people trying to get some hands
right,
on that
they
stack.
Feel like it's the last time they'll be able to buy it.
Yeah,
so.
Or it could be sought as the fact that they're actually reselling the club to Austin. And
I want to know, I'm very curious as to, I want to see the graph, you know, basically indicating when the announcement was made that they were basically being moved to Austin and how the ticket sales or the merchandise
yeah.
sales skyrocketed.
Yeah.
I want to see that graph.
Yeah.
I bet it's hilarious.
I feel like it's a way of fans being like, oh, so we're just going to buy all this stuff as a motivation to try and keep the team there, which, I mean, this is what they did all year round.
It'll be interesting to see if Save the Crew, they're pumping out some merchandise, some jerseys. They actually got a sponsorship.
Oh,
and
really?
They're going to be pumping out their own
wow.
jerseys.
That'll
so
be
I
want
to see the numbers at the end of the season of yeah. Save the Crew jerseys versus actual in mourning black Columbus
yeah.
Crew 2018 season
Which
away kits or whatever.
I like the kits. The kits
yeah.
are nice.
Yeah, they're all right. You know.
I think the way that they introduced the kits are also, it was kind of cool because, I mean, the Acura is the sponsor, and I thought that was a really neat way to just do, like, the headlights and then the shadow.
Yeah, I made some interesting trolling. Like, you know, people were like, hey, John, get in the car. You know, like, we're going to Boston.
Bag your bags. Why, yeah. Fill up the trunk.
Let's go. So, anyways, interesting stuff. Congratulations to all of the Atlanta United hardworking front office team and back office team and all those folks.
Yeah, absolutely.
They do a great job.
I love our front office.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to kill it this season. Yet again.
Just a quick update on Barco. I know we discussed him a little bit, but he's apparently, as of today, he finally got his visa. And something I know we wanted to kind of touch on because we initially thought it was just kind of really, really, really cool. And I tweeted out that I think this is makes him even a much more awesome player and a much more Atlanta guy to get. Barco, that is. Donating the money for the community soccer pitches around the stadium.
So there was an article that came out, and it was retweeted by a couple of folks that it was picked up out of Argentina. I went with the translation by Gustavo Rodriguez, who is actually lives in Argentina and is actually an Independiente supporter and an Atlanta United supporter.
Okay.
So he's always got the dig on what's going on and what's on the TV and the radio that we don't get picked up on social media and stuff. So he actually translated the article and said that the sale of the 18-year-old player will leave for $15 million U.S. is in the safe box of the club and will be one of the most...
Safe box.
Will be one of the most important in history to reach a good end... Let me say it again. To reach a good end, the player contributed his own money and resigned a percentage of his transfer fee for the institution, which then goes on to say, according to what Independiente says, the donation of the player will be made to the construction of two synthetic turf fields in the Villa Domenico property, which is $500,000 each.
And that sounds awesome.
Wow. That does sound awesome.
But upon further investigation.
Upon further investigation, you found.
It kind of sounds like he was stiff-armed a little bit.
Yeah. He was made an offer he couldn't refuse.
Yeah, we'll be happy to finally let this come to a quiet close if you give a nice contribution to the construction company to help manage some synthetic turf field for the children, of course.
For the children.
We can do this the easy way or the hard way.
Yeah, exactly. This has nothing to do with the car that is now on my computer screen that I'm looking at right now and a nice cherry red.
Yeah. Now get out of the back of the seat.
Exactly.
All right. That's where they have their meetings, the back of the Cadillac.
Gosh. I do want to. So, because somebody on the live chat asked this, they said, "Does anybody want to ask if Jay still has a job after doing all the Photoshop?"
I was a ethical employee. I saw that I was not going to be getting much of anything done, and I took the rest of that week off. So I was on
vacation. So that's dedication to the Photoshop.
When you saw all those Photoshop, I was literally on vacation.
How do I get that job where I can just take off the rest of the week if I want?
It's called years and years of kissing butt.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Pucker up.
Very nice.
It's the only way to succeed in this world sometimes.
But I mean, and going back to the Barco, and of course we're all still waiting on official announcement from Atlanta United, but I'm just going to cut to that. I don't think that's going to be until next week.
I think if I just say it right now,
I'm terrified it's going to be tomorrow.
Barco is officially an Atlanta United player. Is that how it works?
Where's my champagne? I didn't bring the champagne.
it's like Michael Scott declaring bankruptcy. Yeah. You know, it's just like, yell it.
Bankruptcy!
According to 17 unofficial sources, it's officially done.
It's not going to happen tomorrow. They've got the MLS Super Draft.
I know.
I feel like they're not going to announce it.
Because it wouldn't be the first time that we do a podcast and it's super relevant and then news.
Yeah.
Atlanta United drops makes Barker the entire podcast unrelevant.
How amazing would that have, like, honestly, I'm thinking of, like,
the foresight
my mind
if
just,
they had actually planned that.
Right.
What, like, spotlight it and they put on the DJ mix and it's like this dark theater and they're revealing the super yacht of 2018 and out comes and Barco standing on top holding Atlanta United scarf and then everybody's just slow capping, like... What?
The people would be like,
what the hell is going on? And then Barco would also be like, what the hell is going on?
Where is everybody? Who are these?
Everybody would be confused. Yeah. Everybody in the room.
What is going on?
It's a good thing the Bocho isn't really starving for any kind of attention, because otherwise that may have been a possibility.
Oh, it would have been so perfect.
I know.
It would have. A couple other things. Tata Martino did a radio interview, and I think he might have been done an actual like newspaper interview talking about his status. Apparently someone thought he was going to take the Ecuador job.
Ecuador did.
I mean, yeah, exactly right.
That was an interview with the Ecuadorian media that came up.
Yeah. Well, that is obviously not true. And then we got from a radio interview a series of tweets that came out by John Rojas, who we appreciate for the translation. And he gets it all right. It's the what isn't going to come off in the text is the way he said it.
The way who said what?
The way Martino said what he said in these interviews. So I'm just going to read through some
of
these texts.
Please, yes, please.
I think this is the Peruvian.
It was a Peruvian radio station.
I have this particularity in which I can't divide the soccer analysis from the person that I'm analyzing. The idea of bringing young talent, scout them, and make them grow here is one of the things I loved when thinking on taking up this project. The third one, it makes me laugh when people say that it's a step back to come to MLS. When Almiron goes to Europe, people realize that there is no wrong in coming here. Barcelona paid what they paid for a player from China. It's player quality that matters. What's another one? I took a call from a reporter. This is about the Ecuador job. I took a call from a reporter from Ecuador thinking that we would talk soccer, and he came out with this rumor of me negotiating to take over the national team. I had no idea about it. It was news to me and nothing true on it. That's actually happened twice. He did this. He basically gave the same answer
twice
when it came to the U.S. men's national team job.
Yeah.
And that's it. One of the things that really isn't taken away is when he talks about Almiron and his eventual sale, the way he says it in the interview, because I actually listened to the interview, and I speak and understand Spanish. The way he says it, it makes it seem – I'm convinced that he's not going to be eventually sold. He's not going to be sold until the end of next year. I think
end of this year, you mean?
End of this coming season.
Which would be winter.
After this interview, I'm – more or less sold on the fact that he's going to be – he could be sold in the summer. I still don't fully believe he's going to be sold – actually moved in the summer, but he's going to be sold in the summer actually be moved at the end of the year.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't believe that at first. Now I'm – because of the way he said it. He said it's – I wish I could just say it and you guys – everyone that doesn't speak Spanish would understand it.
But it was – it was the way he said it. Say it and then I'll Google Translate it really quickly.
How do I describe this? Like, he's going to be sold. Like, yeah, it's going to happen. It's a foregone conclusion.
But I think exactly the situation you're describing, where he's kind of sold in the summer with an agreement that he would eventually he would physically move clubs in the winter, would be the best case scenario for Atlanta, because if you sell him in the summer, that's when clubs have budget available for them to buy. So you can leverage clubs against each other to drive up his price.
Absolutely.
You don't really get that kind of aspect in the winter. So,
but this idea isn't new, that he might have been sold in the summer and moved in the winter, or just sold in the winter, or just sold in the summer and moved in the summer. It's not new. It's the way he said it that makes me think something might be already kind of in place.
Really? Oh, you think that they already
some
have
kind
an
of
agreement
mutual
with
understanding?
The club?
It's just the way he said it.
I mean, he does say like when he moves, it kind of has that feeling of
like in Tata Martino's eyes,
not impending doom,
and it's not a secret. This is not anything that we haven't already heard, but it's just a matter of time. Like,
yeah,
if it hasn't already been negotiated or at least talked about with a specific team, it
also helps put the $15 million in perspective, right?
Yeah,
and also the idea that they were comfortable with the 30%. For the first 2 years, you know, shaving that 30% off to Independiente for a potential sale, because Atlanta United may be hell bent on keeping him for at least 2 years minimum.
Oh yeah,
from the get go.
Yeah,
from the get-go.
So and that was
because
never
they've
an
always
issue.
Known that this is going to be, and we've, you know, it's been talked about and alluded to the fact that this is a replacement for Almiron. I just think that Tata coming out of his mouth in these interviews, it cements it even more that, you know, this is a part of the transition plan.
Mm-hmm. Barco's age combined with his contract length makes me think that it's going to be a 3-year stay for him.
Yeah,
because he gets 3 years at the $150,000 mark against the cap,
right?
And then so the club can kind of have that in the books and kind of build the team with that understanding in mind. And then, you know, by the time he breaks that barrier, you know, then they can move him. Like, I think that's probably something they did with. I don't know if Miguel Almirón will still qualify as a young DP this year, but
he does, but barely. But
okay.
Yeah.
Well,
he's turning 24 this year. Yeah. But yeah.
Okay. So, but that would even solidify my case that like they kind of structure when they're going to move players based on how their contracts impact the cap. So like this would be Miguel Almirón's last year at this young DP level. Yeah. So it makes sense to try to move him because his contract going escalating by a significant margin really throws everything into flux after
this
the season.
This just amazes me that, we've been playing this game now like we've been doing it for 10 years, and part of that is because we brought in a guy from Orlando City with
Paul McDonough,
who has been doing it for a little while, but it's just interesting to me. I don't think it's purely because, Atlanta United was doing it, but at the same time, it does seem like some people finally woke up in some front offices and went, have you guys read these young DP rules?
There's like, something
we
here.
$7 million to transfer this.
This
guy, and it only takes $150K against the cap to pay him.
What have we been doing all this time?
They were like eight beers deep one night.
We could pay him $2 million a year, and it's only $150,000 off the cap. That's what I'm telling you. Well, why are we doing? And then all of a sudden, NYCFC's like,
we're retirement league.
Somebody find out who all of Miggy's friends are. And they're like, well, he plays with this guy, Jesus Medina. Let's go talk to that guy.
Let's look at that guy.
And he's like, hey,
any more Paraguayans we can throw in there?
Yeah, Jesus, come and play for us. And then they're like, does he know anybody else? Well, I think I heard this guy at Colman that plays in Paraguay.
Yeah.
And then you got your Red Bull's looking at this Argentinian El Kaku.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, drop it where we drop. Everybody was like, oh my gosh, 8.5 or 9.5, whatever the number was for Miggy that nobody actually really knows. I love this quote. But whatever that number was, right? Holy cow, this is crazy. And now nobody's talking about the fact that these teams are dropping 7 to 9 million.
Yeah.
Like nothing all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. Like no problem. Like before it was a big deal. Now this is the norm all of a sudden? How fast has that changed?
I think that's partly Atlanta United, but that's also – I'm not saying it's
– Well, we may have accelerated the process. This may have eventually happened.
Yeah. I think Atlanta United is a big influence, but I also think there's a lot more money in these teams now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot more money in the league.
But it's not because of discretionary, Tam, because they're young DPs. So they're not even taking a hit.
I actually
– not even dipping into the discretionary yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually went back and researched about a week ago some of the major transfers that have happened in league history and how they've kind of impacted the rest of the league.
I'm such a nerd.
And so when was it? Well, there were obviously none of these transfers were possible.
Did you go to a library,
without...
Joe? Were you looking at microfiche?
I went to
www.wikipedia.com.
Dewey Decimal.
And so obviously there was the DP rule that happened when Beckham came that kind of allowed this stuff to start happening. So that you could say like that was the first like tidal wave in terms of something that happened that allowed transfer activity to take place, or an escalation in transfer activity. And then you had Obafemi Martins and Robbie Keane signed in like 2005 or something like that. They were a couple years apart, but they were both like $5 million each. No one had really come close to that. And so that kind of escalated things. And then you had another big jump when you had Michael Bradley,
right.
Clint Dempsey, and Jermaine Defoe. All those guys were at like $10 million. And so that kind of brought everyone up. And it's good because you need, like in any industry, when someone comes in and starts, you know, paying more and dominating the market, it forces everyone else to
step up
or they're going to fail. So
and that was back when it was about, I think a lot of it was about ticket sales. Right. Nobody was even thinking we really need to find the most talented players so we can win the league. It was about how do we fill all these seats, bro?
Right? Yeah.
Like we need to bring in a name, that whole line of thinking. And now we have 24 teams. We're going to go to 28.
Yeah.
But either way, now. It's the game has obviously changed. Right. So I think things have accelerated in part due to Atlanta United pushing these buttons. But at the same time, it's not like these 18, 19, 22-year-old kids just started cropping up in South America yesterday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Clubs in England and South America have been putting these kids either in their academies or, you know, putting them on the bench. Sometimes they end up riding the bench. But either way, they've been picking up these players for some time. You know, Aguero was picked up from Independiente. You know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, let's be real about the situation to even 3-4 years ago. I mean, a kid from South America still might not have wanted to come, regardless of the money, still might not have wanted to come.
Sure, because the contract, talk about that. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, if you're dropping $7-8 million and these families are like, well, we could wait another year and risk it. Right.
Yeah.
Or we could live in poverty for another year. Right. Or do we take the money? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, like, I don't buy
better
that
quality of life.
That this is all about it's Tata Martino, now they'll come and play for him. Like, if a club came, New York City FC, who is basically the ownership group is Manchester City, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
I mean, they could be it's essentially the same partnership group. Interested, if they offer me $7-8 million, I'm going to go. So I mean, I don't think that's fully the reason why this hasn't been happening. We haven't been scouting and getting them or asking or you know, they're putting down the kind of money to compete. The risk, that's the thing, right? It was looked as a risk of well, this kid's young and it's not going to help sell tickets, and you know, is it really going to help? Fill, you know, I don't know.
I mean, I don't disagree. I also think that, you know, a kid 2-3 years ago, City doesn't want to come to the league because of the reputation of the league. I mean, I think that's I think the timing Atlanta United had in one entering the league and doing the things they're doing at the time where the league is making or you know reportedly making the most money and has the most money within their specific teams and their ownership, and has you know big entities like Citigroup and a guy like Arthur Blank backing it. And I mean, Seattle itself is a good example. Portland and the things that they do, even with limited budget, you know, stuff like that. LA Galaxy now and LAFC, you're starting to have this influx of big cash and the ability to go out and find these guys and tell them that, you know, this is moving into the selling league that we wanted it or it is becoming.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a realistic possibility for you to come to this league and then get paid going into the next league as opposed to riding the bench in the next league right now.
It gives you minutes and it gives you opportunity to be on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing I love about the comments Tata makes in this is that I feel like he in some sense has now taken ownership of growing MLS.
Yeah.
And this is kind of a conversation we haven't heard much of outside of, you know, the occasional post-game comment.
Yeah. And I think that, like, you know, his influence, I think I tweeted something about this a while back, but it's one thing to be able to afford a player from South America, you know, like one of these talents, but it's another thing to even kind of have the clout to be able to get into the negotiating room to, you know, for them to even start listening to you.
Right.
Talk.
NYC so, has David Villa.
Yeah.
So, David Villa plays there. That's part going to help out there, and yeah, you're going to have somebody with clout.
Yeah, but I think with Tata Martino, he's almost like a guru, you know, he's trusted, you know.
Imagine is like him sitting there with his legs crossed.
He's like,
come to Atlanta United,
I mean,
you
and
will.
Just like, yeah. And just like diaper looking things.
We joked about this. We joked about this before the show, but he is like the Argentinian life coach. Like you know, like he's trusted.
There
he's the trusted life coach.
Life coach.
And but I think
admittedly he is good at life.
I think he convinces players like Almiron and Barco that this will be a good move for them. And I think that, you know, if watching how Almiron has progressed last season, it's kind of played out exactly
Now what's happening, right, is you have Miguel Almiron now has played a year at MLS, is talking, and admittedly in an interview, Medina said, first thing I did is I went to Miggy and I asked him about MLS, and he's the one that really was a big piece of convincing me that it's a good league to play in.
Mm-hmm.
So
now it's player
crazy.
To player happening, and that's we're creating this
so
sort
it's
of
that
buzz.
Wave.
It's when other players know other
players,
and they're like, wait, is it really
so
the way
it looks?
So if
you look at it that way, you can technically say that Atlanta United is the reason that they're getting a Paraguayan.
Right.
Technically.
But I mean, welcome. I think it's a snowball effect of all these factors, and it's not just Atlanta United, you know? It's like, it's... you have to give credit to...
Yes, it is, Joe. We won all the executive awards.
You didn't know MLS has done created soccer, man. What's wrong with you?
We invented soccer.
MLS has done a great job of marketing itself, at, you know, kind of changing the way that it markets itself around the world. in terms of making it, you know, like
MLS, sponsor, or Atlanta United,
MLS, like a sponsorships with Adidas, like all these things that kind of bring it into the new age.
Yeah.
And give it a lot more. There's like a lot more spotlight on MLS nowadays.
Well,
than
another thing that's helping too, right? We talk about, you know, one of the biggest things, you know, that was a surprise last year was our defense, you know, to me anyways.
How so?
Well, just the I thought that it might be a weak point. I wasn't sure about bringing in Parkhurst when, I mean, you have to admit, when you saw that Larenowitz was being brought over from Galaxy, you said, okay, that's, you know, he's on his last legs.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way I was thinking about it going into last season.
It's a retirement moves almost.
But a big part of what we've seen is that for whatever reason, these players that were looked at as, you know, well,
throwaway pieces.
Yeah, they're not. They're going to be either on the bench or we could get rid of them and make some trades for them. Tata has reinvigorated them, and this is a good. This is good news not only for, you know, okay, we're bringing in South Americans, but also veterans, and it puts confidence in the fact that someone like Tata. And this was in an interview, by the way, on Soccer Weekly on ESPN in Dallas, actually has an hour show that becomes like a podcast or something called Soccer Weekly. It's been going on for quite some time out there. And Michael Parkhurst was interviewed on there. And one of the things that he said was that Tata gives you space to play your game. You don't have to worry about making a bad pass and so forth. So that freedom that he gives his defenders, listen – you got to know that other veterans are talking to Larry. They're talking to Parkhurst. You know, that means that if there is a waiver or a free agent or when we need to backfill or bring in somebody,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be able to get somebody a pretty good talent because they're going to want to come here first and say, well, it's going to be a lot of fun to play my last year or two at Atlanta United, you know, and look at how well these guys have done under Tata's tutelage. So I think that's also something that is a quotient to be thought of. So
we always go back to the lifestyle in the United States and all that stuff. And I mean, one of the things we just talked about was how Barco was strong armed. And if you can't see me, I'm doing the finger quotes. Strong-armed into giving up
those
some money.
Finger quotes.
That's not stuff you have to deal with here. And you got to think that that's also a topic of conversation when they're talking to other players who have been here. Guys like Miggy, who, and Tata himself. I mean, imagine someone who's played in those leagues, who understands that culture, who has coached in Europe. And I'm telling you, we're going to get to a point in MLS history where it's no longer to be, you know, I need to leave at some point. It's how long do I want to stay here?
Mm-hmm. Not only that, man.
How long do I want to enjoy this lifestyle?
You go to him and say, bro, when we sell you on for mad money, we won't even make you build a soccer field in Atlanta.
We don't need your money for new turf. We don't need that at all.
That's a free pass on that one.
Yeah. And it's also showing the fact that, like, when players leave or when we don't re-sign them, how they still respect our club and how they still, you know, wish that they could be here because it is a good system and it's something that players, you know.
Sign Bobby.
Well, I mean, it's
dude, sign him to the broadcast crew.
That's that would be amazing.
So good.
Can you imagine him doing like locker room content, you know, like interviewing players after the games?
Yes.
Oh my gosh,
what
would be so
good. What happens to him though
if
he doesn't
social media stuff or whatever? Yeah.
Like, at what point in time is? I mean, I know that we've talked about this, and I think what you guys said is basically, even if he doesn't get picked up right now, he still has like he can look still wait till the summer to see.
Yeah, you pick up
the transfer window there, but
he'll be fine. He'll be fine. He knows. I'm sure he's got connects, and I'm sure MLS is seeing. I mean, everybody knows, follows him on Twitter. It's,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a personality. He's well known in the industry. But it would be nice to get to make him our own.
Yeah.
Bobby
Boswell. It sounds like he loves it here. I mean, well,
of course. Yes.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think he's moved here.
He lived here for a while.
Has he?
Before. Oh, did he?
Actually
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
okay.
I think so. Yeah.
Like,
I'm pretty sure
here?
He tweeted the other day about where he could take his kids to get their pictures taken. So,
yeah.
Well, I know Leandro Gonzalez Perez just bought a house. So there's that.
Did he buy a kangaroo?
He did not buy a kangaroo yet, but his dogs are named Looney Tunes.
Looney and Tunes.
That's awesome. Which is awesome. But
I respect his respect for a Canadian currency. That's great. So for our listeners that may have not been to Canada, look up the name of Canadian currency.
All right. Other piece of news: Atlanta United 2 has appointed a head coach. It is Scott Donnelly. And has anyone seen the Black Donnellys?
No,
you're on your own.
You keep
one season, NBC.
I've seen you talking about this to no end, but I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm fully on board with the nickname Atlanta United 2, the Black Donnellys.
The Black Donnellys.
Black kits, and yeah. They're the Black Donnellys.
Do you think they're going to get more adventurous with their kits on that second
I hope
team?
So.
I would hope so.
No.
If they can't get creative within MLS, I think they should get creative with the... I think they've shown
that creativity is not on the priority list.
No. Neither is winning for Atlanta United 2. So.
Oh,
apparently not. Yeah, you wrote a little column about it.
I did. Yeah.
Give us a little scoop.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just wanted... You know, there's all this hype with the launch and everything, which is normal. And then also... I think everyone knows that there's a lot of talent in that team, and there's going to be. We don't know exactly who's going to be playing with Atlanta 2 or Atlanta United, but we know that there's going to be talent. You know there's going to be probably the likes of Lagos Kunga, Chris Goslin will probably be there, Andrew Carleton will probably start the year there.
Right.
And these are all guys who have played in the United States national team setups. You know, so there's a lot of excitement about these guys, and I think the natural inclination is when you know that there's going to be that there's that much talent, that you expect them to win games. But that's really not the point of the team at all in general. The point is to make them better soccer players so that next year Tata Martino can look, and if he needs a center back, he knows he has one in his system that can play in his style the way he wants him to play, that's good under pressure, good with the ball at their feet, you know, has all the attributes that he wants. Like that's what this team is for, is to grow these players and mold them into the types of players that Tata Martino wants in his team. So basically the way you do that is not by winning games. The way you do that is by actually putting them under pressure and forcing them to make mistakes, really, because right. That's how you're going to get better, is by making mistakes. So I just don't want people to get, you know, too sad when they lose a few games in a row. Yeah.
Well, what are you talking about, Joe?
Here's the importance of hiring somebody. You can just see it by reading through his Wikipedia why this is a good get. You don't bring in a guy that was playing for, you know, say a Miami FC, or is looking to, you know, make a leg up, become, you know, tomorrow or next year MLS coach or win championships, right? This is a guy that has coached largely in the university system, and he also has a dual bachelor's degree in English literature and Spanish language. You know, he did work for the United States men's national under 18 team. It's all about youth development.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is a guy that has been living and breathing how to get players developed at an age that they are developing, and to a place where they are successful. So I think that to me speaks, you know, to the mindset that you talk about,
and
right?
He's worked with Andrew Carleton, and Chris
Goslin
specifically.
Yeah, they're not bringing a guy that won the NASL championship with the Cosmos or what. You know what I mean? Like that's not how this is rolling. You know, this is a guy that's obviously going to likely be interested in being under the tutelage of Todd, or seeing his style of play, conforming that, taking that plan, and then, you know, contributing it or applying it to these players so that they're playing in the same system, because that has always been talked about with the academy coach. I forgot his name.
Mm-hmm. Tony Anand.
Yeah, Tony talking about the importance of all the way down to U12, and when they, you know, when they announced the U12 system, it's going to be all the same.
Yeah.
All the same style.
Yeah, and it's a pipeline. So it starts very young and it goes up. But there, before this, the formation of this team, there was that gap. There was the gap between the academy and the first team, which is that, you know, it's like the minor leagues in baseball, where your baseball development doesn't start when you're in the minor leagues. It starts when you're a little kid and you grow up and you grow up and you get better and you get better. But then you need a time where you can really hone your craft and improve before you become a professional at the highest level. So I think everything that they've done, you know, maybe aside from the branding was a little lackluster, but, you know, everything that they've done playing wise has been spot on. I'm very happy with it.
I do wonder how much input Martino had in this, because assuming he wants that, you know, progress and kids coming through the ranks to be that goal, I wonder how involved he was in this decision.
To me, I would say that he had the final signature write off on
this. I mean, this is a guy that he's got to work with internally.
They're going to be training
to,
on the same.
No, and I understand
pitch.
That. It just tells you a lot about Scott Donnelly. It speaks highly of
him. Yeah, for sure.
Getting that approval from Tata Martino, assuming he had either that final say or some kind of major.
He had spoken to some of the kids too that played under him, Gosling, right. Andrew, and say, hey, did you enjoy
your
time? And you know, the way that Darren and Carlos and all these guys talk and how open and transparent they are, they just feel like the kind of guys that would just come up to you on the training ground and say, hey, what do you think of Scott? Or
over lunch at the facility. Just sit there and eat.
What's the word on it?
And it's such a smart way to make good decisions. You just get information
pieces,
from everybody.
Collected.
It's not just talking to Tata. It's not just talking to Tony Anand. It's talking to everybody.
Yeah. But I wonder the thought process, because if you go from U.S. men's national team U18s to a U.S. head coach of a USL side that essentially is going to, it's going to be the secondary team to Atlanta United, I think a lot of people would view that as a step down.
Really? I don't. I mean, at this, stage with the U.S. the Federation,
but
from
an outsider's perspective,
I can see that.
You look at it, and some could look at it as a step down. And
I bet
he's
getting paid more.
And
tell
because,
you that
and it, look, I'm not saying
facilities.
It's not that I don't like the hire. It's nothing to do with anything. I'm curious, and it's a good question to ask Atlanta United, Darren Eales, whoever. How much input Tata Martino had, because it would just say a lot about Scott Donnelly and his what his role is going to be for not just Atlanta United too, but for Atlanta United.
But if you think about it, right, you're the U18 coach, right, and you look at it, the next step up is U23 coaching, I guess, age group. And then you're looking at, you're going to be the men's national coach, which is a 4 years and then you're fired kind of job, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So is that really what you want? Typically, guys that go to that are very comfy in their career. They can go. They know they'll get a job afterwards. Mm-hmm. To me, it's a step up if you're a coach, because you're looking like this is a pipeline to where I can get introduced to professional soccer. Uh-huh. I can, be under the tutelage and side by side with one of the greatest coaches in MLS and potentially get a leg into USL or MLS coaching. So to me, as a coaching perspective, if I was a coach and I'm looking at my career path, this is a definite step up, unless you want to stay in that pipeline of USSF up to national coach, which makes no sense.
And this may have been the most opportune time to grab someone from the Federation because it's in such disarray. He doesn't even know who his boss is right now. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I also wonder what his mindset is in terms of his long-term career, what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And I think maybe, I don't know what his
from
family...
From his Wikipedia, it looks like he really enjoys working with developing
youth.
I mean,
absolutely.
That's clearly
maybe
important
to
him.
Maybe that's his thing. Maybe that's what he wants to do. Maybe that's what he's really good at. And I'm hoping that this is a hire that, we're looking at. Because the success of this hire is going to be measured 3-4 years down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Not next year, not the year after that. But when it comes to how many kids are pumped out of Atlanta United 2... that start in the first team, that make major contributions to Atlanta United, not only for a couple of years, but how much they get sold for, how much we get out of them while they're here.
The same with our academy system as well.
He may not be working with the Zion Jones here soon.
Yeah.
I saw the news. There's been kind of rumors and he was in a Snapchat with McKenzie and maybe he's over in Germany and what's he doing there? Well, we know now that he's been on trial with Schalke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and they call him someone that is of great interest. So this is something that I think is good for the academy. Some people may see it otherwise. I think this early on, the academy has now won a championship already.
Right.
They are now going to be pumping and partnering with directly with a USL team.
Would you say it's good for the academy because he was noticed by Schalke?
I think what it shows is, to me, if Schalke is noticing players from our academy, then are there other European teams now looking at us and looking at the development
and the
way we're doing business and saying, this could be an interesting pipeline.
Right.
How does Schalke find out about this guy? Obviously, he's friends with McKenzie. I don't think that works that way. I think there's more scouting not only the U.S. Could be from the U.S. National team events going on, but at the same time, he's got an Atlanta United Academy badge on him right now, and that's a good thing if he does end up going over to Schalke.
Yeah, I. And I understand the move from Zion Jones's perspective as well, because if you're him, you're seeing a bunch of he's a winger, and so
fierce competition.
Yeah, so you're seeing a lot of international quality coming into the first team. You know, from these signings like Barco and Neil Assad, and all that. Plus, you've got the golden boy Andrew Carleton, kind of waiting in the wings. If you're Zion
Literally
Jones, you probably know that he's kind of the prize jewel in the academy, and that they're going to want to give him the biggest opportunity to succeed as possible. From his perspective, I totally get moving to a place where you might have opportunity to do bigger and better things.
I get the idea. I also wonder what kind of competition he'd be going up against with Schalke, assuming that's where he ended up. But I think you're going to get bigger, better, knowledge of the game, better training, better development.
But if he was going to sit in the academy another year, potentially not even get some USL shows. I mean, is it all that bad to be on the academy and under the guidance of the coaches over at Schalke? I mean, not a bad gig.
No, not at all. I just wonder.
He may not be about first team playing immediately for him. It may be for about, this is a better showcase for me for European soccer.
Yeah. I think it's a big, it shows he has a lot of character to have that kind of determination and the.
And Schalke is one of the leading
the balls to go
clubs,
over there and
I
do
mean,
something
up there with
like
Borussia,
that.
Develop players that then move on and sell, and he may not even end up staying at Schalke, for first team minutes. So it's still early. It's a trial. It's not a done deal.
It's not even close to even being a deal.
It would have been so easy for someone like him to sign a pro contract with Atlanta. Just coast. And it's kind of encouraging to see him not to kind of take the harder road for the higher reward.
Now, if he's 17, does he still have the same visa issues? Like, for example, we hear about Pulisic talking about that one of the great advantages of not only just a great family and helping support him in the move to Europe was having a European passport. And so I don't know what the situation with Zion is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like we already said, it's just a trial.
I understand that.
There's no... They're not going to be able to sign.
But that is
18.
An additional hurdle, that our youth players in America do face when trying to go to Europe if you don't have a European passport. So we'll see what happens.
There are ways to get around.
I wonder what his birthday
is.
What
I've told.
I'll look it up.
Google's it, Joe. You're good at the research and the libraries and whatnot.
I'm sure there's an encyclopedia somewhere to look up. Or what would an age be? Would a yearbook?
A yearbook.
A yearbook.
We're going to need you to track down his yearbook.
Does he not have a Wikipedia page?
I guess not.
The first thing that popped up was his Facebook.
The age has changed. This is all about the... It's like,
it's
here's
all
a Snapchat.
The book of faces.
Well, in addition to that, we have the MLS draft going on this weekend.
Tomorrow.
And the Women's Professional Soccer League has been doing their thing in Philadelphia today. And it raises a good question. Why are we doing this? Like, why are we doing the draft anymore? I was talking to Joe. There was one of these soccer accounts that's got X number of thousand followers, right? Tweet out a poll because, Twitter polls are very accurate and scientific.
Oh, absolutely.
About, what are some of the first things that you'd like to see changed with MLS? With American soccer, and one of them was Pro Rel, of course, and a couple other ones, and one of them was getting rid of the MLS draft. Yeah. And the draft was like only 10% of people wanted to get rid of it. Like all these people were replying like, this is a necessary thing. And I'm like, have you looked at the stats on like the last few years of who's been taken out of the super draft? Like other than some central, like center backs, who typically perform well, comparatively to other positions in Major League Soccer, who are a safe bet. It's just, mostly kids that are of talent, they're going to MLS, have already bailed on university, are getting picked up by now the growing academy system, are becoming Generation Adidas players, maybe. Like, we picked up a bunch of them.
Right.
We got real lucky, I think, in the last super draft. But this one, everyone's just looking at it going, well.
See, I don't find a good enough excuse to get rid of it.
Why do you need a good enough excuse to get rid of it? I mean,
it doesn't hurt you enough to the reason to get rid of it isn't big enough for me to to do anything, to react at all.
I mean, we're at a point right now to be able to get rid of it.
Why?
I don't care about college soccer at all. I think that it is what it is.
It's still a good development system. I mean, that's what we rely on heavily.
It's not a good development system, though.
No, but at the same time, it's a place that works for a lot of soccer players. Gressel was out of there. There are a number of players that do not make it to the academy systems that – you know, do not grow up in a system where they're picked up by those. They tend to perform or develop better with the college system in spite of the fact that it's not year round.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going away. But at the same time, MLS should have enough scouts and enough folks on the ground where they're picking up these people on contracts right out of college. Why do they have to go through this draft system, especially when the expansion teams don't even want to do it? They're throwing away their draft picks like crazy. Like, I don't need this. I don't need this. You take these draft picks. It's like people are stumbling over themselves to trade draft picks for TAM or for international slots.
I would have no problem just letting college player, if college player wants to make himself a free agent and available to be signed, he can then choose to go where he wants.
These kids are already
scouted anyways. Yeah, and right. It's not like
the draft is this organization that has scouts going and finding these guys.
Yeah, and it's not like these guys are so talented where if you let them choose their own teams, then they'd all conspire to go to the same team and load up some team and then they'd be great. They all need playing time, so they would naturally kind of disperse themselves out evenly where they would get opportunities to play. So I don't think it would be that big a deal to just get rid of it, but I also don't really mind it staying. Like, it's not that bad a deal anyway.
It's just a slush fund.
And that's the thing. I think it's just a marketing opportunity for MLS.
I don't really care either way. I mean, I like that it's there. I think it's a nice little tool, but I don't see enough wrong with it to get rid of it.
It's not a tool anymore. We just found Gressel, though.
Miles Robinson is someone who is at least in the works.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's just two examples.
Miles Robinson was our generation Adidas, correct?
So Gressel would have been picked up and probably playing for an MLS team if he wasn't in the draft.
But here's the thing. We don't know if Gressel would have been picked up.
I mean,
coming out of college.
Surely
he was assigned a ranking for a reason. He was already scouted and said, this guy is probably going to go in this round because he's this good. So therefore, his eyeballs were on this guy, and he was going to get picked up by somebody. It's just that we do it all in one day in a silly NFL-style system.
Right.
That is because America, I don't understand. So all I'm saying is that I think it'd be a good time to start looking at getting rid of it, making this go away. Because
do you put in place of
that? You don't replace it. The academy systems are starting to come to fruition. You have scouts that are scouting these kids and have been for a decade for MLS at the college system because that's all there was. And so if anything, it should be a spot where teams are then going to say, oh, man, if we really want to get this guy, instead of hoping for a lucky draw, we better go and try and sign him. If anything, some of these guys end up getting some more money.
Right.
Because they're not sitting there in this ridiculous rules where they come for basically nothing. You pay the minimum.
See, I think if you got rid of it, in the end, what you would have is you would have a day that would there would be a deadline that would create eligibility for a large batch of players. And it would just be a massive signing day, and then everyone would kind of announce who they signed afterwards.
Nobody's watching this thing stream. It's boring.
Some people are.
On top of that, you also have to worry about
all 300 people on MLS.com. Yeah, Major League Soccer.
That might be enough to make it worth it for them.
Joe's got it on 5 monitors. Do they have a stage cam?
It would honestly be another financial aspect of the game that MLS would have to figure out a way to manage so that it could fit within the salary caps. Now, if you want to talk about salary caps going away, that's a completely different story. But it's just something else MLS was going to have to manage. And I think they like the way it is because everything is nice and a neat little bow and everyone understands it and tradition.
And you also talk about
say what you want about tradition.
It's also Americans looking at this being like, oh, this makes sense to us because we're so used to this with football.
That is salty intelligence of people that watch soccer these days.
And I agree. I agree.
I don't think
MLS looks at them with intelligence, though.
They're afraid that they're going to have to introduce an executive college signing award. And Atlanta United is going to figure out a way to do it the best. And it's just another award we're going to have to give out to Atlanta United because we're going to be down there at Providence University or this year. We're like, we're going to get this guy and that guy and all these other teams. We're like, oh, my gosh, fumbling around. Like, maybe we should do what they're doing. It's going to be just like with the DPs in South America. let the teams figure it out. I think it might be the last year or two that we see this. I really think that MLS may be looking at this and saying, why are we spending money?
Mm-hmm.
because it costs money to hold this event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We might have already covered this. I'm sorry, but somebody on the chat did ask, if there was no draft, do you think these players would even be picked up by MLS? And we're saying that yes, because of the scouting?
I think they would. I mean,
Kids that get dropped. Listen, some kids may fall through the cracks.
There would be, because you need domestic player requirements.
But
other players are going to end up getting paid more lucrative contracts.
MLS teams hold spots specifically for these players.
That's what I was going
to
say.
And they would use, if this didn't exist, they would use these openings to scout other players, maybe not domestic, maybe not college players, across the world.
No, you create college signing requirements. You have to have X number of college players in your roster.
But then you're replacing the draft with a different system. And you just mentioned not having to replace it at all.
It's the same thing without the stupid draft day. It's just allowing...
So we're talking about the same thing minus the draft.
No, and it's, it also creates more competition, because you create a system that it allows more flexibility for teams to be able to seek out and sign college players.
So do you,
if the MLS teams aren't forced to look at these players, they're not going to look at them.
That's not true.
Okay,
that's not
but
true.
Could you say that?
Why do you say that?
That we take away the draft, and then you have a certain number of players that you have to domestically sign.
The rankings are assigned in part because of the scouting done by MLS teams,
and they have to choose players based off that ranking because those are the players in that draft.
Yeah.
If they no longer are confined to those list of players, why pick any of them if you can find a better version of Gressel somewhere else?
So is there any difference between, like, not picking up a player that's not worth being drafted, and you're stuck with it because you're like, well, we have to fill a draft spot, so we're gonna go, like, we have X number of draft spots, and pick that guy up and then release him or trade him somewhere else, or then just going and signing a guy directly? I'm just saying that if anything, yeah, some of these guys may fall through the cracks and not even get picked up, but other guys are going to get more lucrative contracts because they deserve it. And these are the guys that don't have to wait 2 years until they get a salary bump, you know?
I mean, I hear what you're saying.
I don't have the answers right now to what the new system will be.
Of course.
But
you have to have all
the answers. That's why we ask you these questions, is we're assuming
Trolling me right now.
I get what you're saying, and I do agree that I think that there's a – you don't need it. Like, you don't need a draft. You can do it in a different way. But I think that, yeah, it's a lot – it's easier to say it than to actually do it, because there's all this other red tape surrounding the draft, which is like – roster
like,
rules,
right.
Like
Generation Adidas.
You need Generation Adidas player. Like, a Generation
so
Adidas
ridiculous.
Player doesn't count against the cap.
If anything,
like, all these
that's
things.
More complicated.
Right.
Than,
yeah.
Right. There's a lot
well,
of red tape
time,
that, that needs to kind of be cleaned
Adidas
up. That includes
so.
The draft.
It can be simplified. That's all I'm saying.
Can I ask a most important question here?
Sure.
If Atlanta United is winning at doing it, why do we want to change anything?
We're not. But the thing is, we were an expansion team where we got all these first picks and stuff.
No. That's what I mean.
We found
Gressel. We found Miles Robinson.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything big about Miles
Robinson.
And I'm
saying
yet,
that we're not
going
to win in this draft. It's going to be a complete. We'll be very lucky to get anybody that ends up
anything,
playing.
It's a small sample
team.
Size. If we do it again, then maybe.
If anything, we pick up pieces for filler.
It's all USL. That's the only thing we're looking at
the
now.
The players
we
draft will be in the USL team.
It's completely a pipeline for the USL, which completely negates the whole idea of, like,
having
a kids,
USL.
MLS draft.
Right.
Just call
right.
it the damn USL B team draft. That's what it should be called.
Your lack of faith in the MLS draft is disturbing.
It's not disturbing. It's very accurate.
Well, it might not be like a B team draft for Minnesota.
Well, maybe they need to
DC
get their
United.
Academy together,
oh.
you know. Like, holy cow, Snap. Get with it. Yeah. Anyways.
Zing.
I feel like there's a lot of Boom. Teams that haven't been doing anything.
Or Orlando City, who will not be playing this season because...
Yeah, how crazy was that?
Because Orlando. Yeah.
What was the actual reason they gave? Because I didn't care enough.
They gave a reason that they live in Orlando. That was the reason.
Yeah. Orlando has been very Orlando this year, so alas, we feel like we cannot compete.
Yeah. Anyways, their coach went to St. Louis or something. So,
what happens to their fans? Are they plastics or what? Like, what happens officially?
I don't know.
I don't care, to be honest.
They should just throw their team in the swamp. It doesn't matter. It's like their players are all going to leave, obviously, because they have these players under contract to sit on their bums. That was the other thing. I don't think they had enough players to field the team.
That's probably what it was.
So, anyways.
Yeah. They didn't want to face,
but they believe in grassroots soccer and developing youth players in Orlando. Yeah. They're not plastic at all. But you know, we're not feeling a team.
Straight
oh, okay, get out of here.
Atlanta United 2 was announced when?
It was definitely before the last podcast.
It was announced, Orlando 2, and then Orlando 2 decided to quit after.
Oh yeah,
after it was.
I'm not saying anything, but
that is the timeline. That was the timeline. Yeah.
Well, my laptop battery is at 13%.
All right. Any final thoughts on the podcast? Things coming up?
Oh, people want to. Somebody asked about Nashville SC. Do we want to talk anything about the game coming up?
Oh, the Nashville game is going to be huge.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I saw something that there's not even one ticket left available for.
No, it's sold out. Like, very
quickly.
It'll
be fun to watch on TV.
So
yeah, we got a ticket.
here's the news. Joe, are you going?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
If I can get a credential, I'll probably go.
So,
you going to try to get one too?
Josh,
yeah, you want to buddy up?
Kelly, myself.
Yes.
This guy over here. Are all going?
We're all going
to the Nashville.
And I want to share a house with all of you guys, but you've turned me down.
Well, I have a wife.
All the Airbnb.
Airbnb. Saying, let's get a big house. Yeah. Let's do it up or something.
Well, you guys, let me know if you find anything.
Yeah.
I've already orchestrated one travel away game, and it nearly killed me. Like 60 people trying to herd cats to barbecue and all this other stuff in Kansas City. So I'm not doing that again. So I will more than happy to pitch in if you guys find something, and I'll talk it over with the wife, and we'll see what we can come up with. So, yeah, if you're coming out, come find us. I'm going to seek out a pub that we can maybe do something beforehand. I don't know if the stadium's
fun.
I don't think it's near much of anything, so we'd probably have to meet earlier in the day. If you're going on Friday, which I am not going Friday,
no, I'm
that's
going
ludicrous.
Saturday.
But there are people going Friday. There is the supporters group for the Nashville that will be the MLS team, I believe, too, is the Assembly, and they're holding a open for everybody, Atlanta fans, everybody. Go to their Facebook, the Assembly, whatever, and you can find, I think Terminus Legion may repost it too, but I am not going to be there Friday, so let me see if we can get a pub or something and tweet something out, and we can all, listeners and whatnot, can try to meet at a bar sometime before the match.
Yeah, and if any of our listeners already have plans, let us know, and we can happily
absolutely
jump on
tweet at us.
We will let
you guys do the organizing. I'd love to meet people at bars down there and just like
get wasted.
Do not eat hot chicken before the match. That is a bad idea, by the way. Your butthole will not thank you. So I wouldn't do that. That's just a tip. Another tip from Jay.
Soupy poopy.
Okay,
Jay
so,
tips.
You're
so
just
before,
full of tips.
Before the Nashville game, are there any other
snow
events that we want to talk about? I mean, I know that there's the Terminus Legion Second Self Sunday on the Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh,
that they're the painting poker throw ball game.
Yep.
I know I'm going to that.
Go to the Terminus Legion website, Facebook page to find out more information on that, but we want to give that a plug.
Terminus Legion
on
the Twitters.
Well, because I'll be there and Jay, you'll be there. Yeah. And
I believe
Joe,
I'll be
are
there.
You going?
To what?
To the
Terminalia.
Terminalia. Super Bowl Sunday.
Poker?
I don't know
Second
about this.
So if you go to the Terminus Legion Facebook page or on the Twitter, they advertise it. It's basically Second Self
Brewery. Do you
Brewery.
Terminus Legion,
I'm not.
They usually show like when there's a big football game or something.
Separate but equal.
They'll show it at Second Self Brewery.
Separate
and they'll do events like they'll have like painting.
It's painting, poker, and throw ball
painting,
right now.
Poker tournament.
Okay.
As well as a football
Things
game
are
going
to happen.
Stuff, so.
I'm interested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll check it out. Yeah, yeah.
And it's on the poker game and stuff like that. All goes towards charity.
But it's on Super Bowl Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else was there? Where can we find us on Facebook, Jay?
Sorry, say again?
Where can they find us on Facebook?
Facebook
sorry,
or on
Twitter, whatever.
Yeah.
Social media.
You can find them on Facebook at Jay Riddle.
Y'all not invited my Facebook. it's top secret. J-A-Y _ Riddle at the Twitters.
Joe?
I am J-A Patrick 200.
Kelly?
I am the Kelly Francis.
You can find me at Eric G. Quintana. You can find the podcast at MOTS Podcast. If you got any questions.
We have an Instagram.
Oh, we do have an Instagram. Woo, thanks to Kelly.
Yes.
Nice.
So if you have the Insta and the Instagrams, I feel so old saying that right now.
I wish.
But if
I
we've got
Josh
the grams, we've got stuff on the grams.
Can we
right
just
now.
Promise whenever Josh is here, he's the only one allowed to talk about social media. Or he's the only one allowed to like introduce things
and
on social
absolutely,
media.
Absolutely.
Just because that's
a
laugh.
I will agree with that.
Find the podcast at MOTS Podcast on Twitter, on Facebook, MOTS Podcast. And follow Dirty South Soccer for all the latest in the hashtag watch, Barco Watch. Any kind of update on Barco. Any news regarding Atlanta United. If you want to donate to the podcast, patreon.com/MOTS Podcast. We're coming out with stickers. Stickers, I think. In the next couple of days,
stickers.
We're going to finalize some stuff about with stickers.
Get
some money in the bank. We're going to finally use it. And if you want one,
slap them on the wall in the bathroom of your favorite
pub. We're gonna have one that just is the big mouth.
Let's say the first.
That's where I always see stickers.
The first 10 people to tweet at MOTS Podcast saying they want a sticker, we'll find a way to get you a sticker.
Yes.
First 10 people.
First 10 people.
Everyone else.
Should I also then I'll tweet that right now on MOT?
Oh, we can tweet it now.
So tweet it. Let's
whatever.
Shout out to whoever has slapped the Terminus Legion sticker in the bathroom of the Righteous Room in Brookhaven.
All right, that does it for us. Until next time. See you later, Lana.